I know this is different. We've got people visiting today, and this is probably very different for you. So for those of you who are visiting today, don't worry about the trap doors. They're not going to go open on you. It's going to be okay. The message today is called The Search for Justice. Search for Justice. Kind of a backdrop of what's going on with the dedication of Jameson this morning. I want to start by giving you the story, reading the story to you. It's called Fried Chicken Honesty. It's actually a true story and was published in the Dallas Times-Herald on September 23rd, 1966, and it goes like this. A man in Long Beach went into a chicken fried franchise, and he bought some chicken for himself and for his young woman that was with him, and she waited in the car while he went in to pick up the chicken. Inadvertently, the manager of the store handed the guy the box in which he had placed the financial deposits for the day. He had planned on disguising it so no one would know it was the financial money and then taking it out and not worrying about being robbed. And so he handed the box of proceeds to the man who was ordering a box of chicken. The fellow took the box, went back to his car, and the two of them drove away. When they got to the park and opened the box, they discovered that they had a box full of money. Now, that was a very vulnerable moment for the average individual. However, realizing the mistake, he got back in his car, returned to the place, and gave the money back to the manager. Well, the manager was so elated, and he was so pleased, he told the young man, "Look, stick around. I want to have the newspaper come over and take your picture. You must be the most honest man in town." "Oh, no, no, don't do that." "Why not?" asked the manager. "Well, you see, I'm married, and the woman I'm with is not my wife." The search for honesty. For those of you who want to check out the reading in your own Bible, it'll be up here later. It's from John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11, if you want to find that now. Or you can just wait for the slide to come up later. The question I want to ask you this morning is, what is it that people are always searching for? What are they looking for? And I'm speaking here this morning about in relationships, in friendships, in working environments, what are people looking for? We look for it in police officers, in judges, in teachers, in car salesmen. Ah, okay. We're looking for fairness. We're looking for justice. We're looking for integrity. Hard to find, right? And in our most special relationships, in the relationships that are most meaningful to us, the people that we care about the most, we want more than just that. We want to give the purest kind of love, and we want to receive the purest kind of love back again. And that's the kind of love that God, who is the initiator of true love, wants to give to you, wants to give back to us, wants to share with us. Young children receive that kind of love, that kind of pure love from their parents. And their parents, in most cases, will do anything for their children. If it doesn't matter. If they had to run into a burning building, they'd do it. If they had to take a bullet, they'd do it. They would sacrifice their food for their children because they love them that much. That's the kind of love we're talking about here this morning. I want you to think about this, and we're going to come back to this again, but when Jesus was here, Jesus walking this earth as a man, he referred to God in a specific kind of a way. How did he refer to him? He called him our what? Father, our Heavenly Father. And so when we think about parents and parenting situation here, I want you to think about God as a parent and God as your Father, your Heavenly Father. Parents want the best for their children, but they don't always know what the best thing is. And parents are asked to make some tough choices. In the beginning, parents make all the choices for their children because children are totally dependent upon their parents. And they have to decide what to feed them, what to teach them, how to keep themselves from killing their kids when they become teenagers, how tough that is, and where to draw the line, because oftentimes we don't know where that is, in situations that are tricky. 21st century, things are becoming more and more tricky. So what do parents want? In a word, they want fairness. They want to try to make the right decisions and not make any mistakes. Remember those days? Some of you are in those days right now. I want to do the right things. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6 reads, and it should be up here. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. I was given this verse as a teenager, and I've lived by this verse most of my life, and God has really helped me with understand more about life because of this. And it reads this way. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. When Jen and I were raising our children, we had three daughters. We decided that we were going to be fair with all of them, and that we were going to treat them equally, with no prejudice. All will be treated the same way. And we decided we would do that with truth, justice, and the American way. And we discovered that not only was it not possible to treat them all the same way because they were all unique, but if you tried to do that, you were actually going to become insane because it was not really possible. In fact, because they are so different and because they are so unique, to treat them all the same would actually be unfair. It would be the opposite of fairness. One size definitely doesn't fit all. We discovered that we needed insight and we needed help. And what we needed was understanding, not repetition. Understanding. So we turned to God for help and we asked and prayed for His help. And it turns out that God's help was available. In fact, He makes it available to everyone here in several kinds of ways. And here's one of the ways, it's through His Word. When you pick up the Bible, which is God's Word, there are unending examples and patterns of truth, honesty, and fairness and how to go about achieving those things. And if that wasn't enough, then God actually sends His Son in human form for us to watch and check that models to learn exactly how we should live our lives. Now, I asked you earlier to look at John chapter 8. We're going to go to that right now. I'm going to be reading that from the New Living Translation. It will be up here behind me. Verses 1 through 11, and I'm going to read, so read along with me, or read up here with me. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning He went back again to the temple. Here a crowd soon gathered, and He ran down and taught them. As He was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. Definite axe to grind here. And now they address Jesus. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? And verse 6 says, they were trying to trap Him into saying something that they could use against Him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote the dust with His finger. They kept demanding an answer. And so He stood up again and said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. Then He stooped down and wrote again in the dust. When His accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest. Interesting, right? From the oldest to the youngest. They slipped away one by one with the oldest until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman, the crowd of the people who were there to begin with, who Jesus was teaching to begin with. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Now, in this account, Jesus demonstrates some amazing principles. One of them is love. He doesn't condemn the woman caught in adultery. The second is justice. Let the person who is without sin throw the first stone. And third is honesty, His final comment to the woman. Go and sin no more. Which means, basically, repentance is required to complete the situation. Jesus did for her what no one else could do, but she had to do something as well. Now, in a book called A Love Worth Living, and one of the many books written by Max Lucado. I found an interesting segment in there. Jennifer actually pointed it out to me. You know, Jennifer does most of the preparation here. I just stand up here and speak. But she said to me, you know, I was just reading this, and I want you just to look at this. And I did. I said, wow, this fits perfectly what I'm... And it has to do with a Chinese character. And the meaning of the character, the meaning of the word that relates to it, is righteousness. But let me read what Max writes here. The Chinese language is a great symbol for this truth. The word righteousness is a combination of two pictures. One on the top is lamb, and beneath that image, lamb on top, is person. The lamb covers the person, and isn't that the essence of righteousness? The lamb of Christ over the child of God. Whenever the Father looks down on you, what does he see? He sees not you, but his Son. For those of you who know about the Ark of the Covenant and the place of the Holy of Holies, the place where where God was supposed to actually rest, it was called the mercy seat, the Ark, and God would look down and he would see the blood that was sprinkled, the blood of the Lamb that was sprinkled, the covering for us. That most important day for people who are Jewish, the Day of Atonement. You see the model again and again in the Bible. When God looks at you, he doesn't see you, he sees Jesus. And how does he respond when he sees Jesus? He rends the heavens, vibrates the earth with the shout, you are my son, you are my daughter, whom I love, I am pleased with you. And he quotes it from Mark chapter 11. The symbols should be up here, Chinese characters. And it's interesting because the top symbol is yi, which is actually justice, righteousness, but the translation is actually lamb or sheep. And the bottom one is woe, which is the personal pronoun I, lamb over I, or the lamb over me, God's covering over me. This is the essence of what righteousness, or our word, fairness, really is. God does not change who he is. God is righteous. And it's not the kind of righteous, you know, those of you who know the movie from Ferris Bueller's, you know, Day Off, where the lady refers to him as a righteous dude. Not that kind of righteous. We're talking about the kind of righteous where perfection. God is completely wholesome and requires justice. But at the same time, to complete that justice, he gives complete mercy. And he had to do that complete mercy by having a sacrifice of a lamb, the perfect lamb. And so these religious leaders have been planning and plotting. This is no accident, this portion that we just read here. They hated Jesus. They hated what he stood for. Why? Because their idea of justice was a whole different brand. Their idea of justice was actually keeping the letter of the law exactly. Well, let's take one example. The seventh commandment says, if you commit adultery, then that you are worthy of death. By what? By stoning. That's the penalty. So let's see what we can do. We know Jesus talks about obeying the law. We've heard him say that he's not going to condemn the law, destroy the law. In fact, he said, I'm here to complete the law. And not one jot or tittle. A jot or a tittle is like a little mark, like a tilde. Nothing will change until all of it has been completed. So I don't think I've come here to destroy the law. I've come here to complete the law. And they're hearing this. But at the same time, they're hearing about his love and his goodness and his mercy extended to people. And they don't like it because it just doesn't fit their realm. And so we're going to plot, we're going to plan, and we're going to catch him. And we're going to do it right in front of everybody else. We're going to embarrass him. We're going to humiliate him. here's how we're going to do it. We're going to catch somebody right in the very act of the adultery. We're going to drag them out right in the middle of the act. So there's no question about what went on here. We're going to drag that person to the situation where we know he's publicly teaching. So there's no escape. And then we're going to put the question to him. Here's what the law says. You said that you obey the law to the letter. Well, here's what the law says. Stoning. Now, what do you say? And, of course, there's no way out. There's no way out. And once Jesus makes the commitment of following the law, because he said he'd obey the law, well, now we've got him because we'll discredit him, and we will take center stage again as the religious authorities that we know that we are. And so they present this question to him. They had carefully drawn their little spider web all around him. All right, and so, licking their chops, ready to kill two birds with one stone, take him down and put themselves up. ready to publicly discredit Jesus and reclaim their top dog status. They ask him, okay, so what do you say? Penalty says death by stoning. Verse 7 says they kept demanding an answer, and so he stood up again and said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. Okay, let's obey the law, but the person here who has never sinned, you throw the first of a barrage of stones that are about to fly out. So what happened here? So Jesus gave them their brand of justice. You want justice? You want to do it according to your way? Okay, good. One of you here that has no sin, perfection, you throw the stone. And the Bible says that by the oldest on, they began to shuffle out until there was nobody there, because they realized that their own brand of justice could not be kept. And then when Jesus stands up and says to that woman, where are your accusers? And she says, they're all gone. And his comment is, neither do I accuse you. This is called forgiveness. This is called mercy. This is called grace. This is called the gift that God gives to us. And here's the amazing thing. I've been in that position. I've stood where I knew I was the sinner. And probably all of you have, one way or another. It doesn't have to be that particular sin. But you have been in the place. All of us are in that situation. But you've also stood on the other side of it. You've also stood on the side where you are indignant and angry about something someone had done. And they are ready to take them out. More recently, you can appreciate this because of what's going on with all the terrorism and the acts of terrorism and the continued action of terrorism and the destruction of innocent people. And there are times I feel myself saying, you know what? Take them all out. Take them all out. Let's get rid of them all. And then God whispers to me and says, really? Is that what you really want? Perfect love and justice. I want you to listen to this and think about this. Perfect love and justice. Put those two things together. Perfect love, but perfect justice. Keeping the laws, but also having perfect love on this side. Those two things equal. There's an equation here, and they equal righteousness, or our word of fairness. We cannot keep perfect love, and we certainly cannot keep perfect justice because it's just not in us. And so we need help in doing that. We need God's help. Only God offers the combination of love and justice that we want. Already when I look at Jameson and I see him with his mom and dad and I hear about what he's doing, he can't communicate his love yet. But when he sees his mother and his father in the morning, he gets all excited. And he starts to kick and move. And like he wants to tell them. He wants to express to them his love. He can't yet do that, but he can do what he can do. And so he wants to make sure that he gets that across. And as he gets older, more and more of that expression, his mother and father love to see that. They love to know that. You know, that's what God wants from us, that expression of honesty and love, the understanding of who we are, and the understanding of who He is. Only God can offer this thing called grace. Jesus offered it that day. Jesus saved the life of that woman who those people were ready to stone and would have stoned. And you know, the question you have to ask yourself is, if they really were concerned with justice, then where's the other guy? They brought the woman, but where's the man? And I wonder what Jesus was writing when he stooped down there. It says he wrote in the dust. And I wonder if he was writing the sins.